And welcome back to the Tuned In podcast. We're here again, Andrew and Brayden. It's been a couple weeks since we've last recorded. Took a little summer hiatus, but That's right. Here we are. How you feeling?
Oh man, it's been so good. Lots of sports going on. This is like the best time of year. Just everything starting.
Everything's starting up. You're kind of catching a little bit of everything.
Yeah, dude, it's so awesome. How are you doing?
Doing good too. Just started the first week back at college.
Ooh, let's go.
So it's only been 2 days and I'm already spinning my wheels a little bit, but it's going good.
Good.
Yeah, excited for the BYU football game tonight. Cheer on our Cougs.
Let's go.
But we've got a great episode today to talk about. We'll get into some of where the Jazz players have been playing over the summer, the final roster for the Jazz, what that might look like. And then some interesting NBA news, especially with the Clippers. We'll get into that and what's going on there. And also, still a lot of free agents that haven't been signed yet. We'll talk about some of those. And then lastly, we'll get into some football to end off the episode with some college and NFL talk.
Don't forget to check out our past episodes. You can find this on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us there. We've talked a lot this summer about the draft, Jazz roster. You're not going to want to miss those episodes. And this is episode 81 of Tuned In Jazz.
Well, we don't have a lot of Jazz news right now because it seems like the Jazz are pretty much the roster set.
That's right. We assume.
But we do have a couple things. One, I guess you mentioned before the episode, we've got a Hall of Fame class for NBA or for basketball?
Yeah, the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. Some interesting names, not really any surprises. I mean, Carmelo Anthony, that one was given. Dwight Howard, I think Dwight Howard gets kind of a bad rap, but he deserves it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason we talk about the Jazz news, the 2008 U.S. Men's Olympic basketball team, the Redeem Team, if you will, they all received jackets, the Hall of Fame jackets, because I guess they're making a thing for them in the Hall of Fame. So that includes Carlos Boozer, Deron Williams.
Let's go.
Both Jazz guys at the time. It was kind of cool to see them up there on the stage. So that's probably the only time they'll ever get in the Hall of Fame. So
yeah, I guess that's my question. Do you think they'll make the Hall of Fame as a player? I'd probably say no. But
I think Deron Williams has a much better shot than Boozer. But I mean, they're way past 5 years, and they haven't. I don't even think they've been nominated. Like, I don't know. I haven't seen any chatter about it. So
I love to see it, and I guess kind of forget that they were on that Redeem team.
Yeah,
because I think, well, I don't know what year that was, but it's kind of when we were younger.
Yeah.
Maybe like, what, 2008 or
I remember Deron Williams was a big part of that team. I forgot that Boozer was on that team.
Right. But good to see for them. Good to see guys getting recognized.
Absolutely.
We've also got some Eurobasket happening.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess last episode we talked about Lauri Markkanen. He scored like 48 in an exhibition game against Belgium.
Yeah, it was like 23 minutes too. He just like,
yeah, just
super efficient.
Just basically killing.
Yeah.
And I guess he's pretty much just kept doing that the rest of the time. Because, I mean, Finland doesn't really have any other NBA players other than Lowry.
No.
He's carrying them. What have you thought of Lowry's Eurobasket experience?
Yeah, I mean, like when you look at, you know, I know we'll probably talk about the stats in a second, but like when you look at the stats, it's funny that just like all the NBA players, like points per game, Luka, Giannis, and Lowry are 1, 2, and 3. Those guys are all stars in the NBA. The competition's probably not the greatest, but it's kind of fun to see them balling out, get some excitement going. So I think last year was a little bit of a, I won't say letdown because maybe we were trying not to win, but I didn't think Lowry was as good last year, so hopefully this is like a bounce back, you know? That's what I would hope.
Yeah, he also has a 3-2 record since they started. I think they've only played 5 games.
Yeah, I think so.
So it's not like it's been that much.
Yeah.
But he had a 43-point game against Britain.
Dang.
So, and that's in 23 minutes as well.
Yeah.
Seven threes. So he's he's definitely playing his role kind of similar to the Jazz, where he kind of spots up, mm-hmm. hits his shots, and just plays kind of in the offense, not really needing the ball that much.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. He's averaging 25 a game. I think like 2.8 steals, which is the most exciting mm-hmm. for me. I think that would be the coolest thing if Lowry, I think he's a good defender already, but if he could become like an elite defender, that would be really cool, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've played Sweden. He had 28 in a win. They beat Britain 43 in a win. Montenegro. I'm guessing Montenegro's not that great.
Yeah.
They beat Montenegro. And then they had two straight losses to Lithuania. Oh, who okay. I actually have heard Lithuania has a good
is
basketball
that,
team.
It's not Luka, right?
No, he's not there.
Is it Vucevic? It's hard to know with all this.
Valanciunas,
okay.
Valanciunas.
Yeah. He probably balls out on that team, honestly.
Yeah, he's probably the only NBA player that I can think of.
Yeah.
And then they took an L to Germany by like 30.
Lithuania is who the Dragic brothers used to play for, I think.
Oh, okay.
But they don't play there anymore. Anyway, sorry.
That makes sense. Yeah, and then their last game against Germany. Germany's like one of the best teams in this. Yeah.
Dennis Schroeder balls out.
Franz Wagner.
Yeah.
And Daniel Theis. I see him too.
Oh, yeah, dude. They got a roster over there.
Oh, Tristan Da Silva, Isaac Bonga.
Yeah, those guys are all NBA guys.
Well, maybe not Isaac Bonga, but
yeah.
Yeah, so they got killed by Germany. But overall, he's been playing pretty well.
Yeah.
I can't really say anything bad about how Lowry's been playing.
Yeah, absolutely. Another guy that's been balling out, I think we owe him an apology, because I think we talked about, there was like a report that came out that Nurkic's coach was saying he was out of shape. I think we talked about that maybe a month or two ago. Mm-hmm. But he's been balling out as well. I think on the rebounds list, he's fifth or sixth in all of Eurobasket, but he's been balling. He's played 5 games as well. Been playing pretty well.
Yeah, do you want me to run through his games? He's only had 5 well.
That'd be good.
So he had an 18-6 game against Cyprus.
Okay.
Didn't know Cyprus was a country, but here we are.
Yeah.
Lost to Spain. He only had 10-7. I guess Spain's one of the better teams. I guess. Santi Aldama, Hernan Gomez. Do you remember them?
Yeah.
The brothers. They don't have a ton of NBA players, but Spain's always pretty good.
Yeah, that was going back to the whole Redeem team. That was Spain is the one that started all of that. I feel like those teams. Yeah, the Gasol brothers and everybody.
And then he went and played our boy Simone Fontecchio in Italy.
Yeah,
took an L to Fontecchio, but he had 21-10. So individually, he did pretty well. And then he beat Giannis in Greece with 18-10, and then lost or beat Britain as well. So I guess maybe Britain's team is just not that good. Or sorry about that, Georgia, not Britain.
Yeah,
they beat Georgia. So not a bad way for our boy Nurkic. Seems like he's getting a decent amount of rebounds, just kind of playing his role. Yeah. I'm wondering if on the Jazz obviously, we're not going to see him score this many points, but maybe he could give us like a couple baskets in the post or an offensive rebound basket here and there.
Yeah, that's what I would think. I was just looking, we didn't plan to talk about this, but I don't know if you heard NBA 2K came out. Now we have all the Jazz ratings. Kind of interesting use of Nurkic. Is it 77?
It's like very average.
That feels pretty average, yeah.
Seems like I've heard people complaining that there's too high of ratings across the board, so maybe 77 is not as good as it used to be.
The Jazz isn't too bad. We got 84 for Lowry and 82 for Walker, and everybody else is under 80.
Okay.
Kind of interesting, but... Yeah. So, yeah, I feel like it's kind of... I heard a conversation on sports radio the other day talking about how, like, if it's good to have your players play in Eurobasket, because it's kind of a risk a little bit. But I don't know. I think it's, like, these guys are going to work out anyways. They're going playing open runs in L.A. with everybody. Why not just play actual competitive basketball for your country? I don't see the difference, you know?
And to some of these guys, maybe Lori feels this way, but playing for your country is... like arguably more important to the player than playing in the NBA.
Absolutely, yeah. And it grows the game, I think. Like,
yeah.
kids in Finland watching Lauri Markkanen and just ball out. Like, some of them are going to want to be him, and then they'll come play for the Jazz and win his championship. Yes. So it'll be great.
That's actually the plan that we have.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but I mean, if Lauri didn't play for Finland, Finland would be maybe not even making this tournament.
Absolutely.
Right? So they need him.
Absolutely. Well, that takes us to so currently the Jazz roster has 19 players. Jazz have to get down to 18 players.
3 two-way players in there.
Yeah. I think our two-way players are set. We'll have to cut somebody. Begs the question, who's it going to be?
Yeah.
There's lots of options. I feel like we were just talking right before this. We thought Kevin Love was going to be gone already. I thought he was going to be bought out. I thought that was the original thing we heard. Mm-hmm. But he's still on the Jazz roster. So that's kind of interesting. Kyle Anderson's also on the roster with part of those trades. So I think either of those guys could go, but I also think they could stay. I don't know.
Maybe I'll give you two names. How about this? And you tell me which one you'd cut.
Okay, fair enough.
You don't have to explain yourself if it's just like a whim or whatever. I'm also looking at how many years they have left. So let's start with Kyle Anderson and Kevin Love. Kyle Anderson has 2 more years left on his deal, and Kevin Love just has this year, and that's it.
Mm.
They're both making... Kyle Anderson's actually making $9 million this year, $9 million next year. So it'd be harder to cut that contract, maybe. But then Kevin Love's just making $4 million and then free agent next after the season.
I feel like if you bought out, or if you waived Kevin Love, there's a much more likelihood that he would get picked up by somebody as well. I don't know. That's actually a tough one. I'd probably cut Kyle Anderson, though, actually.
Just buy him out.
I just think if we're talking about fit with the team, I don't know. It's not necessarily that I think Kevin Love is going to come in and like change the roster, but when I look at him, I think he's a really good guy. Could be a really good mentor for guys like Kyle Filipowski. Even has like a similar play style to Lauri Markkanen. I know Lowry's been in the league a couple of years, but like
sure.
Kevin Love's
37 though.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's not going to need to really play that much, just practice. No,
exactly. But I think, I don't know, it'd be nice to just have a big that could help guys like Flip and Lowry and Walker. They're still pretty young, honestly, all three of them. So.
Okay, so then I'll keep Kyle Anderson. Would you cut Kyle Anderson or Kenyon Martin Jr.?
Is he one of our two ways, or he's got a full contract?
Kenyon Martin Jr.'s got a full contract.
Okay.
And same thing as him and Kyle Anderson basically have the same contract.
Interesting.
Except Kyle Anderson's is 2 years. Kenyon Martin Jr.'s is just 1 year.
I mean, I'm honestly not. I don't think, in my opinion, Kenyon Martin Jr. is not like a long-term piece of the Jazz. And neither is Kyle Anderson, but I kind of like having mentors. I feel like that's a big thing right now.
Really?
We just got a really young team, so I'd probably keep Kyle Anderson.
Wow. I would personally keep Kenyon Martin.
You would keep Kenyon Martin?
Just because he's 25 and the other guy.
True.
Kyle Anderson's 32. I've never really been like a fan of Kyle Anderson's game.
Yeah, me neither.
But you're right. We do need some veterans on this team.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're cutting Kenyon Martin Jr.
Either way, I feel like that's a pretty inconsequential.
Right. It's not really going to matter that much in the long run.
Direction,
maybe you just saw Kenyon Martin's, remember that shot last year where he didn't he hit like the side of the backboard or like shot it out of bounds or something?
Yeah, his like first game was really good, and then he played pretty good the rest of the year, but it was just...
He's decent. I think he's underrated on this team a little bit. We kind of forget that I personally forget that he's even on the roster.
Absolutely.
Okay, so maybe he's the odd man out, but would you keep Kenyon Martin Jr. or Svi Mykhailiuk?
Ooh. Okay, well, last year when Svi Mykhailiuk came in, I was really excited. I think in our podcast we talked about like what a good addition he could be, but then he just like never played pretty much.
He had some good games, but mostly just when guys were injured. I remember he started a couple games because of injury. Yeah. But
at the end of the year, we got pretty thin.
Svi Mykhailiuk has got at least 2 more years, maybe 3 on his deal.
I'm not really that big on Svi Mykhailiuk. I'd probably cut Svi Mykhailiuk.
Really?
Who would you do out of those two?
I mean, it's a toss-up. I'd probably cut Svi Mykhailiuk as well.
Yeah.
I'd probably cut Svi Mykhailiuk over Kyle Anderson too. Mm. So
that's fair.
Just because really all he brings shooting, but he's also got the smallest salary.
Yeah.
So probably the not as big of a deal like money wise if we cut him.
Yeah.
Just kind of is how it rolls. But I don't know. He's also kind of a veteran. He's 28. So you were saying veteran leadership.
Yeah.
Could be a thing. I don't know.
It's true.
I don't know. Maybe that's where I'll leave it. Because I feel like all the other guys I'm keeping.
What do you think about a guy like, I'm not saying to cut him over any of those guys, but what do you think about like the long-term spot of a guy like Bryce Sensabaugh on the Jazz?
Bryce Sensabaugh is one of the safest players on the team.
You think so?
Yes.
Ooh, I don't know if I agree with that.
Bryce Sensabaugh was like one of our best players off the bench, in my opinion, just because he shoots 40% from three. And as an NBA team, you have to have 40% three-point shooters to be able to be good.
Yeah, that's true.
He just need. I know his defense isn't amazing, but he's working on it. He's working on it. And he's still 22.
That's true, yeah.
And we've got 2 more years of him on his rookie deal. Yeah. So I'm just saying, I don't know. I'm very high on Bryce Sensabaugh. And I think from last year to 2 years ago to last year, he had a huge jump. So I'm hoping he just kind of continues to get better.
Yeah.
In my eyes, he's way safer than Cody Williams.
Yeah, that's probably
in my
true.
Opinion. He's maybe a little bit safer than Taylor Hendricks, but Taylor Hendricks could play well this year, and then they'll be about the same.
Yeah. I'm kind of on the boat of, I see all those guys you just mentioned kind of on the same plane. Probably Bryson Spall a little safer. But I'm just thinking, like, as we start building, like, I think we got some pieces, like, Walker Kessler's going to be around. Hopefully Ace Bailey will be around. I think that's more up to him, probably. Lowry.
Collier.
Even maybe Keontae's a little bit there.
Collier or Clayton, I guess. Yeah. Both of them.
And I just like to see those other guys. Though, like, it makes me wonder if they're going to be building pieces or if they'll, in the next couple off seasons, be traded while their value's still high, or, you know, if they'll find better opportunities for themselves. But we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, the Jazz have moved on from a lot of their first-round picks over the past couple of years. You remember, we kept Dante Exum probably too long.
Way too long, yeah. Because
we kept thinking, oh, this next year is Dante Exum's year.
Yeah.
Never happened. And then, honestly, he's pretty good on the Mavericks.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not bad. He bounced around for a while before he found that spot.
Yeah, but we probably could have let him go a little bit earlier.
Dude, the other day, this doesn't really have anything to do with what we're talking about, but the other day I was in my car driving, just thinking about Rodney Hood, dude. What a legend.
Yes.
Just like, that was just such a sad, like he, those first couple
we
years
thought
in
he
the
was
Jazz.
The future.
Yeah, and honestly, those first couple years in the Jazz, he kind of was. Like, he was a baller. Like, I think he was our second leading scorer behind Gordon Hayward. And, like, I remember even when Gordon Hayward left, there was conversation of, like, Rodney Hood's going to be the guy, and, like,
he's going to have the keys.
And he just didn't become that. Not only did he not become that, but he, like, was downright unplayable after that. And it was, like, kind of sad, honestly.
He had a couple good stints after the Jazz, though, right? Didn't he go to the Cavaliers and the Trailblazers?
He kind of sucked on the Cavs, but I don't remember how the Trailblazers
was. I think he was decent on the Trailblazers.
Oh, yeah. But it's kind of sad. He was supposed to be pretty good, and it makes me sad for him, but.
But I feel like we probably held on to him the right amount of time.
That's probably true. Yeah. We moved on when his value was still a little up there.
Sure.
That being said, though, we already kind of talked a little about like starting lineups. Has it changed at all with Summer League, with roster additions? Who are you feeling like is going to be the guys starting for us?
I don't think it's changed that much.
Yeah.
Collier and Keontae. Ace Bailey, Laurie, and Kessler.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
That's probably where I'd be at, too.
I know some Jazz fans maybe would say, hey, let's not start Ace Bailey right off the bat. And I'd say you're crazy.
I think you're crazy, too.
You
yeah.
have to start Ace Bailey. That's just totally a given because he's probably the highest pick we've had in years. Need to get him the experience right off the bat. And then the guard spots, honestly, I could see that shuffling around from game to game, maybe with injuries too. But
I think
Collier and Keontae probably start the season.
I could agree with that. I think the That's probably what I would say too. Despite what I just said about Bryce, I think Bryce could be a starter.
Yeah.
Maybe bring Keontae off the bench. I know we like did that quite a bit last year.
He played very well off the bench.
Yeah.
He's like still playing 30 minutes off the bench.
I also think Flip's getting to the point where you could consider having Lowry at the three, or Lowry at the three, and maybe Flip at the four.
But does that mean you put Ace at the two or what?
Yeah, that does get a little tough.
I don't know. That gets a little hairy.
But I mean, I just think Flip has proved a lot this offseason. I think he's going to be a pretty good piece. Our rotation, I don't think, is looking too bad, though. Yusef Nurkic, I think, will have minutes. I think Walter Clayton will play. Taylor Hendricks, I hope, finds his way
Taylor
back
Hendricks is probably going to... I feel like he might be the odd man out in the rotation.
You think so?
Unless he gets proven himself. Like, because you might think about giving Walter Clayton more minutes than him, just because we need that spark offensively. You might think about giving Filipowski more minutes than him. They kind of could play the same position.
I mean, I feel like Taylor Hendricks is the biggest question mark on the entire roster for me, because it's like...
He had a pretty good, like, two games?
And it was like, remember one of those games was like he was guarding KD and he like contested a shot, which is hard to do against KD. And it's like...
That was his rookie season, though. That was a long time ago.
Yeah. Wasn't that last year?
He only played two games before he injured himself.
Yeah, but he was looking really good defensively last year, those couple games.
Yeah, he was looking good.
I just think the question mark is, like, it's hard to come back from an injury like that. Not all players. Like, Gordon Hayward never really came back from that. Paul George did. Obviously, that's a high bar to set for Taylor Hendricks. Mm-hmm. But I just mean, like, you never know mentally if he's going to be back or if it'll be... I hope... If he's back, I think he deserves to fight for a rotation minutes, you know, but it'll be interesting.
And I mean, same thing with Cody Williams. Yeah. Cody Williams, like, you could argue, had a pretty good summer league.
Looked better, yeah.
Looked a lot better. So absolutely. Him and Taylor Hendricks are kind of going to be fighting for that, like, ninth or tenth man on the roster.
Yeah. A
little bit of minutes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, should we get into some NBA news?
Yes, let's do pretty big NBA news this week, actually.
I'll be honest, I don't really know the story as well as you do, but maybe I'll try and just say what I think I know.
Yeah.
So the Clippers, when they were re-signing Kawhi, last year or 2 years ago?
Yeah, something like that.
They signed him to like a max contract, but apparently they gave him... You were saying $50 million under the table.
Something like that, yeah.
That, I think it was like 48. To circumvent the salary cap is what I heard them say.
Yeah. Yeah, it was something, I guess Steve Ballmer had like a shell, I keep calling it a shell company. It sounds like it's a real company, but it's like a tree planting business. And I guess they paid Kawhi like $48 million for a no-show job, meaning he just was given the money. But like, I get I've seen Steve Ballmer on a couple podcasts saying that he had no idea that his company paid Kawhi, that he didn't even know he was invested in that company.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen some other things where it's like he had invested $50 million just like a couple weeks before, which is pretty close to $48 million, you know. And I don't know. I mean. Yeah, it brings up interesting conversations about circumventing the salary cap. And I think there was a thing in the early 2000s I was reading about with the Timberwolves where David Stern came down hard on him for something like this, where they lost like four first round picks.
Oh, wow.
And they had to I think the player's contract was voided or something like that. So it'll be interesting. I don't think Adam Silver's nearly as hard on players as David Stern was, but it'll be interesting to see what the punishment, if there is one, is for this.
Clippers have been through a lot.
Yeah, they have.
You think about this, and also you remember Donald Sterling and all that?
Yeah.
Basically was forced to sell the team.
Yeah.
It's tough to be a Clippers fan right now, but we'll see what ends up happening.
Absolutely.
I'm sure if this is true, I feel like they will have some sort of backlash or something, a fine or... like you said, draft picks or something. Mm-hmm. I'm sure if it's true that they like paid him extra.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, it's kind of funny because I've seen on podcast Mark Cuban coming to Steve Ballmer's defense. So it kind of makes me wonder how often stuff like this happens. Because I don't think that Mark Cuban's actually defending him. I'm guessing he probably has also done something similar before. And is just defending. That's just my guess, but
yeah,
it'll be interesting. I think it's a...
I don't know. And I don't know, like, the letter of the law, because apparently it's like an endorsement that they gave him, but also, like, he didn't do anything for it.
Right.
So, like, was it really...
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure there's like a letter of the law. The lawyers will come in and really figure this out. But absolutely. I don't know.
Yeah, it almost makes me wonder if... I don't know if there is rules about like if owners can pay out endorsements. Seems like there should be.
Yeah. That, obviously, I don't know the answer either.
Obviously, it's creating problems now, but yeah. That's crazy. I feel like the whole sports world is in just kind of... chaos right now, trying to figure out the ethics of paying players, even professional, even like obviously NIL. College NIL.
Yeah, NIL is kind of getting crazy.
But even in the NBA, like there's like lots of conversation about the second apron rules and like, you know, it's
all
just,
both the agents and the teams are always disagreeing because the player always thinks he needs the max.
Yep.
Every time. Not everybody gets the max, you know?
Nope. And if you're going to get the max, you can't complain that your team doesn't have a bench. That's how it works.
Amen. So I don't know. I'm kind of on team second apron because I like seeing more well-rounded team instead of just super teams.
I like it too, yeah. So I think it's pretty good.
And then we've also got a little bit of like free agency and like transaction news.
Yeah.
John Wall retired.
What a legend.
Basically one of the... When I first got into basketball was when John Wall was probably at his peak. Like, first really getting into it.
Yeah, that's pretty sad.
Any memories of John Wall now that he's retired?
Oh, man. I just remember when I was a kid, the whole thing where he hit the Dougie on the starting lineup. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought he was so cool for doing that. That was like when the Dougie was a big thing, yeah. Yeah,
I won't remember him on any other team other than Washington.
Yeah, no.
Because I don't even know, where did he go? He went to the Rockets, right?
To the Rockets and Clippers.
Clippers.
Can't remember if there was anywhere else.
Same thing with Kemba Walker.
Yeah.
I'll only remember him on the Hornets.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I know the Wizards suck right now, but I think people forget the Wizards were like a playoff team most years when John Wall was there. Like, they just because the Wizards have been bad for like 2 or 3 years,
yeah,
people forget that they actually are not like one of the poverty teams. They were like really good for like the entire 2010s, pretty much. So you got to give John Wall a lot of credit for that.
Well, and honestly, he was, like they were never going to beat LeBron, but I think some of those Wizards teams like had a chance. Like they've competed with LeBron, Brad Beal. Marchand Gortat was like pretty good back then, you know.
I forget about him. Otto Porter.
Otto Porter Jr. Let's go on. Dude, some of those
Davis
teams were
Bertans,
good.
Did he play there?
I think I don't remember if that was the same.
Kelly Oubre. Do you remember when Kelly Oubre was there?
Dude, they had some good teams. Like, yeah, they were
decent.
And I remember John Wall. I don't know if you heard that podcast where he was talking about they could have beat LeBron. If they couldn't have, but
no,
they competed with them.
I don't think they had any chance to beat LeBron, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think the Raptors had the best chance, and they just couldn't do it.
I think so, too, yeah. Yeah. Some of the Celtics teams were pretty
decent. But maybe you could argue they were the third or fourth best team in the East for a lot of those years.
Absolutely. A solid team.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to free agency, which, interestingly enough, there's a lot of really good players left in free agency. So maybe I'll go through the list. You can tell me if you think they'll be signed or they'd be a good fit.
Maybe, yeah, we could say what team could maybe use them.
Yeah. So the first one I think is a big one. Malik Beasley.
Ooh.
All of his gambling stuff has been dropped as far as I understand. He's good to play.
He had an amazing year last year. Probably his best year
really
of his
career.
Really good
year. Yeah. Do you think he goes back with the Pistons or do you think that bridge is burned?
Well, the Pistons already signed, they already got Duncan Robinson and somebody else. So I don't think he'll go back to the Pistons because they already have players.
Fair enough.
But I could see him going to like maybe another East team. Like, I don't know if the Knicks have their roster sorted out yet, but I could see him in the Knicks jersey.
I could see him on the Knicks. That wouldn't be bad.
What other teams? Maybe the Celtics, just because they need that. Do you think he could be on the Warriors? The Warriors still have roster spots.
That's true, yeah. I could see Warriors or Lakers, and he's already played for the Lakers, but...
Yeah. Warriors love shooters, so I think he'd be great on the Warriors. Maybe Warriors and Knicks, where I'd see him.
I could see him, like, on the Nuggets. I think they still need to fill it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the roster, like, space-wise looks like, but they still need to fill out a bench still a little bit more than they already have. He'd be a good fit there. Other guys... This one's just because it's Jazz, but Alec Burks.
Oh, no.
34, I'm guessing he's probably done.
He's probably at the end. Yeah. I don't think he'll get
Jay Crowder's also there. Probably done. Another big one, Al Horford.
Right. That's crazy to me.
There was rumors he was going to sign with the Warriors, but we checked the roster. He's not there. He's still listed as an unrestricted free agent. That's kind of interesting, honestly. Hmm. We're getting pretty close to the season, too, honestly. To have some of these guys unsigned is pretty wild.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think Al Horford would be great on the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why they haven't done that.
Yeah. But,
and the Warriors need... Their roster's not full. They need to fill it up.
Yeah.
From what I've heard. So I don't really know what they're doing.
Yeah. Apparently, Johnny Juzang's still unsigned, although he's committed to sign with the Wolves. But he's not signed yet. Jonathan Kuminga is still a restricted free agent. And I don't think that the Warriors are planning on matching anything, is what I'm hearing. Where do you think Jonathan Kuminga would be a good fit?
That's a tough one.
That's a really tough one.
Maybe the Raptors?
Because
the Raptors are...
That might be good.
In the same kind of timeline as him.
Yeah.
Maybe the Bucks? Do you
think? Bucks might be a good fit, yeah.
They could trade away Kuzma for him. I don't
Jazz
know.
Could go
Warriors
there.
Don't want Kuzma.
Yeah.
You want Kuminga on the Jazz?
I wouldn't hate Jonathan Kuminga.
I think him and Ace Bailey kind of play the same position, though.
That's true.
So it depends on if we're done with Ace.
Yeah, you would crowd Cody Williams a little, too. They're all kind of the same style of player. I think Jonathan Kuminga has a lot of upside, though, but... I could see, like, the Grizzlies would be a good fit there.
Ooh, I really like that. Yeah. Actually, that might be the best one. Especially because they just got rid of Bane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, what about Russell Westbrook?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest one.
He's still not signed.
I'm kind of surprised. I'm guessing this probably... He's probably... My guess would be he won't get signed before the season starts and he'll be added, like, at the deadline or something. That's my guess.
I heard he got an offer from... Like some European club.
Oh, really? That would actually be fun to watch.
Way more money than he would sign in an NBA.
Oh, it was like the Pat Bev thing where he went to Israel and got paid.
Yeah, like something like that.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll take it because he probably wants to play in the NBA, but if he's chasing a bag, he might not even be in the NBA next year.
Yeah. It's funny because Russell Westbrook really is still such a talented player. I feel like he adds value wherever he goes, even though he also... It's kind of hard to game plan around him.
He's a good, like, motivator and
Absolutely.
Teammate.
How could you not play hard next to Russell Westbrook? But yeah, it's... I heard that there was interest from the Knicks, but that they would have to get rid of Malik Monk first to, like, just for a roster.
Oh, you mean the Kings?
I said the Knicks. Yeah, I meant the Kings, sorry.
Yeah.
But
they already got Dennis Schroeder too.
Yeah,
so
I don't know. That ship's probably sailed. I don't know where he'd be a good fit anymore, though.
Do you think he could return back to the Thunder? I think their roster's full, but that would be cool if he like did like a whenever he's gonna retire, do his last year in the Thunder. That'd
it makes
cool.
me wonder what he feels like if he feels like this is gonna be. He's 36, 17 years in the NBA is a good. That's a good career. Most players don't have that long of a career. Makes me wonder if he realizes this is like probably his last season or if he still thinks he's going to play.
Yeah, it depends. Because I'm honestly surprised the Nuggets didn't just bring him back.
Yeah. Maybe he goes round four with the Jazz. Or no, what? Is it round three? Round four?
Yeah,
I'm just kidding.
We can't buy him out if he doesn't have a contract.
That's true, yeah. I'm just kidding.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's always like teams like the Sixers, but they've got kind of a lot of guards already. Miami, maybe, because he liked playing with Brad Beal a lot. I don't
Honestly,
know.
Honestly, it's hard to find a spot for him.
It is hard.
Maybe he could go to the Warriors.
Yeah, that's true.
We could just keep saying the Warriors for every team. Right.
Maybe the Mavs. I don't know. I'm trying to think. That's a tough one. It's really tough. I think that's all the... Oh, Ben Simmons is another... I heard rumors that he was contemplating retirement. I'm guessing he probably should at this point.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes unsigned.
He's only been 7 years in the NBA. It feels like it's been longer than that. That's probably about right, though. That's crazy, though. Oh, Micah Potter's still out there? I didn't realize
that. Oh, shoot.
I forgot
that's
he wasn't
so
on our roster.
I'm going to miss him.
Yeah, he's a baller. That's really sad. He's funny because, like, the fact that... I know he's just kind of a filler on the Team USA select team, but that guy can ball. Everywhere he goes, he just plays really well. Just not in the NBA, I guess.
I've got two other guys that are kind of in the similar place as Kuminga.
Okay.
Or maybe three. Because Cam Thomas, he just barely signed back with the Nets for the qualifying offer.
Okay.
But there's two other guys kind of in the same boat as Kuminga and Cam Thomas. Quentin Grimes.
Ooh, I did
Sixers.
See him on there.
He's technically still a free agent. He had an amazing year last year.
He's restricted or?
Yes, he's a restricted free agent.
Interesting.
Seems like he's not getting any buzz because he probably wants a lot of money.
Yeah, he probably does. He had a good year last year.
So he might do the qualifying offer too.
Yeah.
And then Josh Giddey.
I saw
Did
that
you realize
too.
He's still a free agent?
I don't think he's a bad piece. I feel like his first year in Oklahoma City was like he was a really exciting player.
And he played pretty well for the Bulls.
Yeah. I feel bad for him, that whole scandal that just made him kind of the butt of the joke in the NBA. It probably hurt his career a little bit. But
it seems like, I remember like a report a while ago, like maybe a month or two ago, where they said both sides couldn't be more far apart in
the
negotiations.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's
like
not
he probably
sign.
Wants $30 million, and they're like, how about $10
million? Right. Yeah. Oh, the Bulls are just right now. I feel like they're a pretty poorly run franchise. Like,
yeah,
they just haven't
actually,
built anything.
I'm with the Bulls on this one. I don't think you should.
I agree.
Bring
too,
out the pocketbooks for Giddey. Nobody else is going to pay him that much. So why should you?
I do agree with that. I just don't think they have any direction. Like right now, I think he's their best piece moving forward. But that's not really saying anything at all. Like they don't just they just don't have anything. Like. Maybe what was the guy, Bozelis? He looked pretty good last year, I guess.
But he's not like your building block.
No, not at all. Kobe White, but I heard they're trying to trade him. It's like, what are they even doing over there? Like,
Kobe White's a great player.
He is a great player, yeah. I just don't, it just doesn't make any sense what
they're
doing.
Yeah, it just seems like the pieces don't align together.
Not at all. Not at all. And wait, is Lonzo Ball still there? It's hard to keep track of
him. He got traded.
Oh, that's right.
Or Okoro to the Cavs.
Oh, okay, that's right.
So the Bulls have Okoro now.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. So, anyways, it's kind of crazy that it feels like usually at this point of free agency, the pool's pretty dry, but it feels like there's a lot of talent in there still.
Yeah, there's a decent amount. Wonder how many of those guys will just sign for like a minimum, but I hope they get signed anyway.
Yeah. Absolutely. College football in general has started. Went to our first BYU game of the year last week.
Let's go.
What were your first impressions of the Cougars of BYU this year?
Well, going into the Portland State game, in my mind, we needed to win by at least 50.
Absolutely.
I don't know what you were thinking.
Absolutely.
So that was kind of my measuring stick, like, hey, are we going to win by 50? And we did. Yeah. 69-0.
Great game.
So
it was almost 50-0 at halftime.
Right. And we put in the third string guys for a lot of the second half.
Yeah.
So I mean Portland State's not great competition, but for the competition we had, we played very well.
Absolutely. I think you can't read into this game too much. Obviously, like we're not going to be national champs because we beat Portland State, but I think there's been years in the recent past where BYU doesn't take care of business against teams they should, like Sam Houston, even Portland State. Like
that Sam Houston
9 years
game was
ago.
Scary.
Right, and then we had a pretty bad season that year. It's like good teams are supposed to beat up on bad teams, and that's what BYU did. Then that's good news, I think. So,
really, the only way this game could be talked about is if it was close.
Yeah.
And it's not close, so we're going to move on.
Not at all.
But it was a good environment. Good to get excited for that.
I think Bear looked pretty good too.
Yes, and he didn't even really do that. He ran the ball very well. I was surprised to see.
Yeah, he's a gutsy runner. It kind of scared me a little. I'm like, maybe don't dive every time you run. Like maybe just slide. Like,
so gonna hurt yourself. Tonight we play Stanford in Provo.
That's right.
What do you think? Maybe if last game the measuring stick was win by at least 50.
Yeah.
What are you hoping is like the line for this game? What are you expecting to happen?
Well, I still think it's going to be a blowout. I think at least maybe I'm just like being hopeful here, but I think at least winning by 3 touchdowns, I think would be my line. I think.
Do you know much about Stanford? Like how good they are?
I watched their game against Hawaii and they were pretty bad. They lost that game.
Did Hawaii win by 3 touchdowns? I don't know.
I can't remember. I think they just barely beat them, but Hawaii is not very good at all either.
That's right.
But I know Andrew Luck just took over Stanford football. Not as the coach, but came in as like the team president and fired the coach. So they have a new coach. And then they lost Bear Bachmeyer, their 4-star recruit that they had. And their receiver, Tiger Buckner.
He's going to come in with the like knowledge of their system. I don't know. The coach is different. But.
Yeah. So I don't know. I can't imagine. BYU's definitely got to take this game serious because they're a Power 4 opponent. But I don't know. It's probably going to be a good win, I think.
Yeah, if we win by 3 touchdowns, I'd be very thrilled.
Absolutely.
But I'd also be okay with 14-point win.
Sure. Yeah. That would
be I'd say if it's a 14-point win, it's like, okay. Yeah. If it's a 21-point win, we're thrilled about it. But we'll see. There's no way we should lose. That would be, that'd be some concern after that.
I think last week I was a little nervous after that second drive because our defense, they gave up a couple first downs. But then after that, we just like, it's like Jay Hill was like, oh, okay, I understand now. And then he like, so I hope that our defense at least shows up for Stanford tonight and just looks dominant.
It seemed like to start the game, we just played a little bit more conservative.
Absolutely,
to kind of feel out what they were doing. And then eventually, you're right, we kind of learned what they were doing and adjusted. So that's great.
Yeah,
let's do that again.
Absolutely. Rest of the Big 12 week one did not look great, though. Well, some teams did. Most teams didn't.
Were you saying because they look good as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean just like talking about week one, Big 12 teams. Cincinnati lost, Baylor lost.
Oh, really? Who did they play?
Baylor played Auburn. I thought they played them okay. Cincinnati played Nebraska. They lost in the last drive of the game. I'm trying to think of who else lost. TCU looked really nice. They beat Bill Belichick over there in North Carolina.
Yeah. Poor Bill.
Did you hear, by the way, I know you're a Patriots fan. Did you hear that Bill Belichick's banned all the Patriots
staff? Yeah, I did hear that. That's pretty...
That's weird to me.
Pretty weird, too.
I didn't realize he was so mad at them, or like, I wonder what the reason is.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's odd.
He's probably just like... Bill Belichick's the kind of competitive guy that like, if he loses a game like this, it's the end of the world.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The players are hearing it right now.
Those players probably ran like crazy.
Yeah, they're practicing every day after that. This is, like, absolutely not acceptable.
Yeah. My guess is that the Bill Belichick experiment won't last very long, not just because of his age, but I'm already hearing things about, like, recruiting trips where Bill Belichick didn't even talk to the players and, like...
Oh, no.
That's just so Bill Belichick, though, like...
I don't think... But he could hire somebody else to do the recruiting. Sure, I don't know.
I don't know. It's just not very good... As a college coach, you kind of have to like put on a show, you know, for recruits.
Because being Bill Belichick's style, he'd probably, instead of North Carolina, he should be at like Army or Navy or something.
Yeah, right.
And
yeah.
I think he'd do better there.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't know.
And then Utah had a very good game.
Yeah, they looked.
Against you. Was it UCLA?
Yeah, they looked scary good. I don't think UCLA is going to be that good, but.
Utah's new quarterback looks a lot better.
Yeah, he looks really nice. He was like 12, or he was like 21 for 25.
And he was running the ball too.
Yeah, and he had like 80 yards or something. It's crazy. Yeah, and they look really good.
Kansas State lost to Iowa State.
Yeah.
Big 12 head to head.
Well, and then so Kansas State, that was week 0, but then week 1, Kansas State barely beat North Dakota. Did you see that?
Ooh, yeah,
like,
I did.
It was like on the last drive that they won. It was pretty bad.
And Kansas State was like top 20 to start the yeah, season, right?
Yeah.
That wasn't right.
Yeah, they're out of the AP poll now. I think Utah's in. BYU's still the first team out. They were already that, but Utah jumped them, I guess.
Dang.
So Big 12, I don't think we're totally doomed, but I think we're not looking great so far, I think.
You don't think two playoff teams is likely?
Probably not, no.
Yeah, that's fair. Arizona State still looks pretty good, though,
I
right?
think they looked really good. Texas Tech, I mean, they were similar to BYU. They beat up on a bad team, but that's what you're supposed to do, so, you know.
So, I don't know. As long as you have, like, two or three teams that are continually undefeated, yeah. you could still that's get true. Two playoff teams.
Oh, Colorado's the other one. Oh, Georgia Tech. They lost to Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I was expecting them to do bad this year.
Yeah, Coach Prime, I saw something that they installed a bathroom on the sideline because of he just got treatment for, was it colon cancer?
Yeah.
So I think he just, whenever I saw him on the sideline, he does not look like he's doing well That's physically, tough. Which is hard to, I would be hard to coach a college football team if you're not.
Yeah, and they lost Travis Hunter and Shadur, who were their best players last
Heisman
year.
Heisman Trophy winner, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to recover.
That's really tough.
Build your program up for next year, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then Alabama. You saw that game, right? They lost to Florida
killed.
State.
Yeah. You love to see it, honestly.
Florida State's had some like pretty bad year the last year or two, so it's good to see them do well.
Yeah, it's good. I thought it's probably good that they moved on from DJ Uyunglele or however you say it.
Yeah, he wasn't great.
No. The Castellano guy looks really good, though. The sad thing is Bama's still going to probably win 9 games and be in the playoffs, unfortunately.
Yeah, just because the name itself.
Yeah, Kellen DeBoer will be on the hot seat if this keeps happening, that's for
sure.
Yeah, I
heard everyone saying instead of DeBoer, to trash or to garbage or what. I don't know.
Yeah. That's got to be the toughest coaching job in all of sports,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, just following Nick Saban. Yeah, good
that
luck.
That would be ridiculous, yeah. Yeah, NFL week one, too. Kind of some exciting games so far.
Yeah, that's already started. There's been the Chiefs lost last night. I don't know if you saw that. The Chargers look pretty darn good.
They looked really good. Justin Herbert was throwing all over the field. He was looking
nice. Their offense looked pretty good. They have a new rookie running back, too. Mm-hmm. Forgot his Mario Hampton, is that right?
Yeah.
He looks very good.
Splitting carries with Najee Harris, too. That's a good
back. And then they got Keenan Allen back. Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. They look nice, yeah.
So I'm looking at the Chargers to be maybe a division winner. They could, if they already beat the Chiefs once, that's a good start. Yeah.
I had I have Harrison Butker as my kicker on my fantasy team this year. I don't know if you saw it at the end of the first half yesterday. They were running out of time. They couldn't spike the ball. They didn't have any timeouts. So they all ran out on the field and like 3 seconds left on the clock and he kicks a 54-yarder.
And they made it?
Yeah, he made
it. Holy cow.
But then he missed like 2 extra points. I was like, what the heck? Like, this is so wild. But
that's just how fantasy works.
That's true, yeah. So thank you, Harrison Butker. Gave me 7 points for that 50-yarder.
It's not bad.
Not bad.
And then
Eagles, Cowboys.
Or on the Chiefs, what's his name?
Patrick Mahomes or Travis
Kelce. The wide receiver.
Oh, Xavier Worthy.
He like got hurt or something?
Yeah, it's like he played like 3 plays and then I think he ran into Travis Kelce, which is just a big dude. And
it's fair.
Something with his shoulder. I can't remember what it was. But
Travis Swift.
Yeah, right.
They should just change his name already.
Can you imagine the media firestorm that would be?
If he takes her name.
The culture war that would ensue after that. Yeah,
that would be crazy.
That would be wild.
And then we did have Cowboys-Eagles.
Yeah, that was a good game, I thought.
It came down to the last couple of drives.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb kind of threw that game
a little. Yeah, the game literally went through his hands.
Yeah. I thought Dak on that last drive was making some... those were some dimes he was throwing. Yeah. But
I love what I'm seeing from Dak. He looks great.
Dak looked really nice. Yeah.
Throws are on point. He's staying calm in the pocket, even though they're getting a little bit of pressure.
Yeah. And, you know, I hate the Cowboys as much as any other NFL fan, but I think both those teams are going to be pretty decent this year, Cowboys and Eagles. So.
Right. Everyone's saying the Eagles roster, although they lost a couple players, is still very good.
I think so, yeah.
But they definitely, you could tell... lost a little bit in the front seven because it seemed like they were getting a little bit less pressure throughout the game.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Cowboys were able to fend them off.
Yeah, it didn't help that their main defensive tackle got ejected from the game after spitting on Dak.
Yeah, do you
want to
talk about that?
Yeah, I guess there was like a... It's hard to know what the truth is, but I guess Jalen Carter was... he was like talking trash to Dak, and Dak... I guess Dak like spit in his direction or something. Dak saying that it was like he was just spitting. Jalen Carter thought he was spitting at him.
I'm sure they spit all the time, you know?
Yeah. So he gets in his face and Jalen Carter spits at him and gets ejected from the game. It's just kind of, who knows what the truth is there, but.
And I've heard that's one reason why people passed on Jalen Carter is.
Yeah.
Because he fell in the draft. His personality.
Line. Yeah.
So. He's a great player, though.
I think for a defensive lineman, you need him to be a little nasty, you know?
Sure.
But
yeah, but Eagles barely pulled that one out, so we'll see. Maybe it will be tough to see them repeat.
Yeah.
And the tush push did not get banned, although I think it was like 4 votes.
Yeah, it was pretty close.
So it was. I honestly, I'm so annoyed every time they run that.
Yeah.
But then if it works, why doesn't every team run it?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. It's because the Eagles' offensive line is so huge.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know how you would enforce. I mean, it would just be so weird to see a team run that and then get a penalty. Like, what? Like, how are you going to enforce that, you know?
Yeah. I saw the Cowboys. They were trying to, like, go around the edge and then, like, pull Jalen Hurts' leg so that, like, they pull it, like, or they'd push the tush push guys out of the way.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. There's you gotta get creative to try and stop it.
Eventually, somebody's gonna figure out how to stop it. That's just how sports go.
I did hear the announcers say one of the offensive linemen, he talked about how much exhaustion comes from doing that play.
Oh yeah,
that like if they call it like
every
two
play.
Plus times in a drive, he's gonna really feel it.
Yeah.
So you gotta also think about that. Like they can't. They're not robots.
Yeah.
Like, that takes a lot of energy and strength for the linemen.
Absolutely.
So they can't run it too many times because, you know, they'll run out of gas.
Yeah. Absolutely. I remember during the broadcast, I don't know if you remember, this is like towards the end of the game. There was like 3rd and 6 or something. And the announcer was like, they should just run the tush push 2 times and they'll get there. Like, that's kind of.
I was kind of thinking that too. Like, hey, the announcer's not wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple other exciting week 1 matchups coming up. We got the. Well, I guess none of these are exciting.
I'll be going to Monday Night Football.
Oh, that's right. You said
My sister lives out in Chicago, so going to visit and going to the Bears Vikings. Monday night, J.J. McCarthy's first start.
Ooh, man. That division's going to be a lot of fun this year.
Yeah, and the Packers just got Micah Parsons.
So low-key, Packers might be my early pick to go to the Super Bowl this year.
I think the Packers were already, like, the favorite to win the division.
Yeah. Micah Parsons is a big addition.
Now they have him, they probably definitely are. The Lions are still really good. Like, they still have most of their players.
Lions play the Packers this week. That's pretty exciting.
Oh, wow. That's a big game.
Yeah. Bills, Ravens.
Oh, really? That's a big
game.
That's
huge. Yeah.
That's like 2 potential Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Got people.
Yeah. There's not really Cardinals, Saints, Panthers, Jaguars, Steelers.
Honestly,
Jets.
We just haven't had football for so long. I'm excited for any of those games.
Oh, Steelers, Jets, isn't?
Oh yeah.
So Aaron Rodgers
and the Jets quarterback was on the Steelers last year.
That's right.
Justin Fields.
I forgot about that. That's kind of interesting.
So that'll be good.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I'm never going to put money on the Jets.
No. So yeah.
I'm probably thinking the Steelers will take that one.
Yeah. Texans Rams could be good. You never know. Those teams are kind of middle of the road.
Yeah, CJ Stroud was my fantasy quarterback last year, and it was a tough year.
He had a sophomore slump a little bit.
Yeah, so hopefully he bounces back.
I think it's exciting talking about local little Puka. I think he'll be wide receiver 1 this year for the Rams. I mean, they have Devontae Adams, but
he's getting old.
Getting old, yeah. I think
they got rid of Cooper Kupp. They don't have him anymore, right?
Yeah, so they have Tutu Atwell as well, but I think Puka is going to be their number 1 target, I think.
I love how they involve him in like screenplays and jet sweeps and stuff too. So
yeah, the NFL's just, I feel like I always see Puka on the NFL's website or on their Instagram. I feel like he's just kind of become
just all the catches he's able to make.
Yeah, and he's just kind of a fun guy. Like, he's the guy you want to root for, you know?
Yeah,
so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, who else? I always freak Tyler Algier.
Yeah,
he'll be out there.
People love Taysom. Taysom always.
Yes, he might be injured though.
I think he is. Yeah,
I hope he comes back.
I saw a podcast this week. It was Drew Brees, and he was talking about how he was talking about Taysom, and he said that he believed that if there was a team that had invested in Taysom as a quarterback, that he could have been like an all-time great quarterback in the NFL.
Really?
And he was just talking about how like it's hard to invest in Taysom as a quarterback because of everything else he can do. Like, I mean, the guy can run, catch, tackle, like the dude can just do everything. So like
he's a dog,
so you want him on your team to do all those things. But like, he was just talking about like if a team really wanted him as their quarterback, that they could have done it and it would have been great. Anyways, that's kind of interesting. That was a cool thought.
That's kind of a hard question, like how much of the talent in football is like from practice and work, and how much is just like raw intangibles.
Absolutely.
I guess, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's tough to know.
Yeah, but I'm excited for week one.
Yeah.
Lots of good games. Good to have football back.
Absolutely. Great to have sports back. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today after our break. Don't forget to check out our past episodes. We do have a lot of really good stuff that we've talked about recently. You can find those on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. And we hope you have a great weekend.